You are listening to the Wells Tech Podcast, where we talk about technology that can serve the church and its work of spreading the gospel. Wells Tech is a part of the Podcast Network on Streams, the internet media site sponsored by the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Join the conversation by visiting our podcast website at wellstech.wells.net. You're listening to the Wells Tech Podcast for Wednesday, December 23rd, 2009. This is episode 111, Tech Talk with a District President. Welcome back to the Wells Tech Podcast. This is an abbreviated episode, episode 111. Hello, Sally.
Good morning, Martin, and happy week of Christmas. We are closing in on the big event.
That's right. And as is our now 2 years in a row custom, we have a shorter episode with just an interview and a little happy chatter before and after. This is the happy chatter part, right?
That's right. We're doing our best, at least.
You have Christmas plans?
Well, we are here in Sleepy Eye. We'll be broadcasting all our worship services live and enjoying some family time besides that.
So. Yeah, we're not going very far either. Usually it's at the in-laws up in Fond du Lac, and that's good to not have to travel, especially this time of year. And just enjoy the season, enjoy family, and enjoy the celebration of our Savior's birth, which I hope all of our listeners will be doing. And if you're listening to this podcast on Christmas Eve, good for you, but we don't have that expectation of our listeners. So, but at some point, you might be listening to this, and we've got a great interview today. We're happy to have Pastor and District President John Buchholz. He is the newest of the 12 District President. I don't know if he's the newest. He's the youngest. How about that? And he is from the Arizona-California District, and we had a chance to talk with him about technology and how he sees it as it makes its way across the Synod and as our congregations consider how to use it. So let's listen to our conversation with Pastor John Buchholz. Joining us today is Pastor John Buchholz from Emmanuel in Tempe, Arizona, also serves as the Arizona-California District President. Welcome, John.
Good afternoon, Martin.
Thanks for joining us. Appreciate you taking the time in this busy holiday season. Maybe you can start telling our listeners a little bit about yourself. You haven't been in the, you have been for a little bit, but you've kind of been in remote areas of the Synod, so you may not have crossed paths with a lot of our Midwestern listeners. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I grew up down here in Arizona. I grew up down on the Mexican border, about 60 miles south of Tucson. We always went to church up in Tucson when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And then for high school, I attended Arizona Lutheran Academy before I went back to study, of course, at Northwestern College in Watertown and the seminary in Mequon. Uh-huh. And I did actually serve for 4 years in Waukesha, Wisconsin.
There
I was pastor
okay.
at Trinity in Waukesha there. So I do have a lot of Midwest friends.
Very good.
And then we lived out in Seattle, Washington for 11 years, suburb of Seattle there, and served Holy Trinity Lutheran Church there for 11 years, and in 2005 accepted the call to serve Emmanuel here in Tempe mm-hmm. in the Phoenix Valley.
And you also have some synod responsibilities, fairly recent, right?
In 2008 at our district convention, I was elected the Arizona-California district president. Before that, I had served on the Latin American Administrative Committee and had worked with our missions in the Western Hemisphere here south of the border and out in the Caribbean and especially in South America.
Mm-hmm. So you are the youngest, I would assume, of all the DPs, right?
That's what they keep on telling me.
Is there
me.
Some kind of initiation process? You got to get the coffee or something like that?
And shine the other DP's boots, yeah.
At least one other. I know one other that wears boots.
Yeah.
Good. Well, we thought it would be... last year we had President Schrader on, and we thought we'd kind of continue the tradition by having, you know, some kind of synity-muckety-muck on the show and talk about technology. So you immediately came to mind, right?
I'm in fine company.
That's right. And another thing that you have going for you is that you serve also on the Technology Advisory Committee. So you're a friend of technology, and we thought, hey, let's get John's perspective on technology in the Synod, and, you know, from somebody who's, I think, I would say comfortable with technology, but also now oversees a bunch of congregations and how maybe they're using technology. And you served, as you said, in Seattle, you know, a hotbed, you know, of technology. So we thought, hey, let's have a John on. So maybe we can start with that question. I know you are comfortable with technology, and you lived in Microsoft land up there in Seattle. Has that helped your ministry?
You know, the cool thing about being up in Seattle, not only did I get to work with some very techno-savvy people up there, just some really wonderful people who not only worked for Microsoft, but were involved in software development and a lot of cutting-edge stuff. One of the neatest things there through those folks, I had access to the Microsoft company store, and could buy software, you know, the latest, greatest new release software at just screaming rock bottom discount, 10 cents on the dollar type prices. It's mm-hmm. just unbelievable. But you know, I've done a lot of stuff with technology over the years. I used to sell computers and build computers and work with churches and schools and pastors to kind of, you know, solve their technology needs. A lot of that was pre-internet days, and I used to do a lot of coding. I used to program in a couple of different languages and actually develop some software applications.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess I've always kind of viewed technology as a means to an end, not an end unto itself.
Mm-hmm.
And in that respect, I don't know if I've always been cutting edge. I think there's a lot of fads and gimmicks that kind of, you know, they kind of have a meteoric rise and then they kind of fizzle. And I think it's real easy, especially for a pastor, to kind of, you know, you don't want to get caught up in every newfangled thing and think it's going to be the latest thing that's going to just, you know, turn your ministry and, you know, make mm-hmm. it all better.
Right.
So I don't know that I've been really fad-driven.
Mm-hmm.
I think I see technology as a tool, and I think it works, and you use it for ministry purposes, and if it works, great. If it doesn't, it's not a substitute for getting face-to-face with people and just, you know, connecting and building relationships. That's where it's really at.
So can you tell us about some of the congregations maybe in your district and how they are making use of technology as a tool, hopefully, in the ministry that they're doing there in your district?
It really varies from place to place. I guess two big benefits of technology that I see from ministry would fall into the realm of organization and communication. From an organizational standpoint, I think there's tremendous benefit to be gained to help pastors and church leaders and congregations schedule their time and manage their facilities and manage their ministry better. I would think just off the top of my head, things like record keeping and member database management and those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no excuse not to have a good handle on whom you're serving, prospect lists, contact lists, you know, tracking contact information.
Volunteers, that kind of stuff, right?
All of those kinds of mm-hmm. things, yeah. And then the other side of it, I think, is communication. And some of the newer things that are coming out nowadays, I think, are very exciting, you know, with a higher bandwidth internet connection. Obviously, just having a good website, I think, is very important. A lot of our district congregations here in our district are making good use of technology that way. We just recently started streaming video. Actually, we're not doing live streaming yet. We have archived video, but we get it up pretty quickly after the service.
Mm-hmm.
And some of that's becoming more practical now with higher bandwidth connections. So it really opens up a world of possibilities for communication. Those mm-hmm. are kind of the two areas that I see being real useful.
Sure. Now, one area that obviously is emerging, and I know that you're taking part in, is social networks. I know that you have a Facebook account and use it. know how to use it. And I know a lot of congregations and their staff are a little bit befuddled by its use or potential use for ministry. What's your take on, you know, things like Facebook and you know, other social networks, Twitter and the like?
I think you're actually my Facebook friend, aren't you, Martin?
I am, yes.
Yeah, and
whatever
and
that means.
Yep.
You know, it's funny because I think there's tremendous opportunity, and I think there's also some very serious pitfalls that you have to be careful of. I think the opportunity. I use Facebook, for example. I have a Facebook account, and I use it to communicate with friends and family. But I also use it to communicate, believe it or not, with pastors in our district, mm-hmm. you know, at a professional level. And sometimes it's a matter of sending them a message or a link or even chatting them, you know, through the Facebook chat environment and just kind of getting an update or maintaining contact with them. I think the pitfalls that you have to be careful of, you have to realize that everything you put on something like a social network like Facebook is 100% public, whether you think it is or not, and to make sure mm-hmm. that you exercise good discretion in terms of the kinds of things that you communicate and who has visibility on what information. I think that's absolutely critical from a security and also personal integrity standpoint. I see a lot of benefits, but it has to be used and it has to be managed well.
I think one of the big drawbacks or challenges with social media in particular is becoming addicted to it to some extent, you know, spending too much time using the technology or involved in that kind of thing. And I'm sure that's probably true of any technology. So with pastors' times being so precious as it is, you know, how do you avoid getting too much FaceTime in front of the computer?
You know, it always used to be the joke about pastors sitting in their offices and playing solitaire. I don't think anybody does that anymore, but maybe there is too much time being spent on Facebook or you know, just staring at your email waiting for the next email to pop up.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be a problem, like I said before, and anything that keeps us away from people are our bread and butter. That's what we're all about, is connecting with them, developing that relationship, and delivering the gospel to them. And if technology ceases to become a means to an end, but it becomes an end unto itself, where it's consuming just voluminous quantities of time, then it's obviously a hindrance and a detriment to ministry, and it needs to be. Our use of technology in that respect has to change.
Mm-hmm. I see that as cautionary for even our listeners on this podcast, whether you're in ministry, whether you're in, you know, a called position or otherwise, that technology can become a vice, a god, a, you know, something that takes the place of what really should be number one in your life. And, you know, we have some very loyal listeners who can't wait for the next episode, and that's fine. And Sally and I get to try new things and talk about new things. But if that becomes something that drives your life, you know, new things, I'm going to try this, I'm going to try that, all in the name of productivity or even in ministry, I think it's kind of backwards. As you mentioned, you know, it's a means to an end, and you have to be particular about the tools that you use and make sure that they are serving you and your Lord. And sometimes you have to be so very self-critical and really be introspective about it.
You know, one of the good things I see, just getting out and about, meeting with our pastors, meeting with circuits, meeting in conferences, I see a lot of really good outward-looking ministry taking place.
Awesome.
We have a lot of wonderful stuff going on in our congregations. Does that mean that we don't have room to improve or that we need to use tools more effectively? I think there's always room for that. But on the positive side, I really see a lot of good ministry taking place. And ultimately, it does. It comes back to people and how we can serve people in the best way. And again, technology is just a means to that end.
So we're about looking at emerging technologies, and you've been there. As you look at the church, any advice that maybe you would offer to churches, schools, to really kind of pay attention to where they should spend some of their time, energy, money, you know, when it comes to technology?
You know, that's kind of hard to gauge because things are changing so quickly. I can tell you that this year we actually canceled our Yellow Pages subscription simply because that, I think, is an outmoded technology and people just aren't using it the way they used to.
Right.
I think that investing in web development is a good thing because the website that the congregation has is pretty much its face to the world, and I do mean world because anybody around the globe can pretty much access that. I think making sure that your content on your web page is fresh, that it's dynamic, that it's updated regularly. You know, sometimes you go to a link and it says weekly sermon or something like that, and the last sermon that was posted was, you know, the Sunday after Easter.
Right.
And we're in Advent right now. So I think that's an area where investment is very, very valuable. And it's very simple. I mean, it doesn't cost a lot to be able to implement that. I'm a big fan of bandwidth in our elementary school. This year, just recently, in the last couple of months, we went to a 20 megabit per second fiber optic connection, and that gives us the sweet throughput that we need to be able to serve all of the kids in school. We've got about 40 laptops that the kids use during the course of the day, and we don't get bottlenecked on our download side. Other than that, you know, there's probably a whole bunch of other things out there that if you tickle me on them, I could you know, give you a feeling for whether I think they're useful or not, or whether I've used them.
What about mobile technology? Is that something, you know, the whole text side or smartphones? Is that a way that you're communicating with members, or you see congregations, other congregations in your district communicating?
You know, I've heard, Martin, I've heard that there's an app for that, but I have to confess I'm a little bit outdated on the mobile side, actually, to try and save some money on that, and I don't have the fanciest mobile plan. In fact, I don't even have web or email access on my mobile phone.
Okay.
So probably somebody else. I do interface with a lot of our members who have that, and, you know, they love it. I think it's a cost-benefit that you have to evaluate.
Right. Yep, absolutely. So much to do. I mean, so many things to consider, but in the end, you know, it's all about ministry and figuring out how to use those tools that God is providing us. And I guess I would look at a district like you manage there, or shepherd would probably be a better word, as probably fairly progressive, you know, congregations that are smaller and maybe a little bit more mission-minded than, you know, some of the longer established congregations. So implementing technology, you know, and having the technology conversation probably isn't hard. Now, you've probably experienced that in every congregation you've been out there, you know, you've been at in the, you know, on the West Coast or in the Western time zones, that if you're thinking about creating a website or using technology in a certain fashion, that you've got ears that are interested in hearing that.
You know, another thing that we've used to good advantage is video conferencing. Mm-hmm. We use that for our district presidium meetings. We have two of our presidium members, our district first vice president and our district secretary, are over in California.
Sure.
And we've been able to meet for a video conference, and that's been very efficient. It's a money-saving tool.
Oh, yeah. What do you use?
And, we actually used VC for a while. We're toying with different platforms. One of the pastors in our district, Pastor Delgadillo in El Paso, makes tremendous use of Skype. He actually has a virtual church service that he conducts. It's actually global. He has people all the way from Europe, Spain, France, I believe Hong Kong or the Far East, join for those worship services.
Yeah, we talked to Gonzalo. This must have been, Sally, I don't know, a year ago.
Yeah,
more than that. Very interesting conversation about how, and he's been doing that for, you know, not just, you know, the last few months, but his entire ministry, you know, down there. So
yeah, he does some really neat, and I think that's just an example of the kind of creative use of technology that really, as a medium for communication, gets the gospel out there and reaches people.
Yep, very nice. John, thanks so much for your time. Appreciate it, especially in the holiday season. Blessings on your preparations and your celebrations of the Christ child.
Thank you, Martin. Thank you, Sally.
Okay, take care. Our thanks to John for taking the time in this holiday season. You know, pastors don't have anything to do, you know, over the holidays, right?
That's true. It's really quiet around my house these
That's
days.
That's right. interesting insights, and we thank John for taking the time. And we wish him a very blessed holiday season, as we know he will be very busy. Next week, what do we have coming up next week, Sally?
Well, it's that traditional New Year's weekend or week podcast where we look at our best and worst picks of the year.
So the year in the review, and one of our most popular segments is the picks section. So how many of each are we doing this year?
I think we're going to tackle three best picks and three worst pick selections from each of our list of picks throughout the year.
That's fun because we get a chance to look at some of the, you know, the things that we thought were really cool and we'd use and would help our productivity or be great ministry resources, and in retrospect or hindsight they just didn't cut it for whatever reason. They kind of fell off the radar or got replaced by something better or just didn't live up to expectations. And then the three kind of things that you could not live without. Yeah, that's kind of fun too.
Right. It's neat to look back and see, you know, how well you predicted the future and, you know, whether the things really did take off.
Yeah, just in looking at my list, cursory list, seems like the things earlier on in the year are more likely to be on that worst list than things later on because we haven't hit. They don't have as much of a track record. But tune in next week so we can hear about our best and worst picks of 2009. And we also have an anniversary show coming up, right, Sally?
That's right. Just 2 weeks away, we will have been podcasting for 2 full years. Hard to believe we've been meeting like this every week for 2 years, Martin.
Yep, and we're going to try and do it for another year, I guess. So,
yeah.
Let's close the show with a new album, Christmas music, of course. Koine is a band that we featured many times on the Wellstack podcast. They have a new album out called Anno Domini, and we're going to be listening to their song Joy to the World. Christmas blessings to you all. Thank you for listening, and we will talk to you next week.
Sins and sorrow.